this morning, and I began to study a little bit. And I want you to turn with us to the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, starting with the 11th verse, and we'll read just a few verses of Scripture. Then we'll give to you what God has laid upon our heart. I really enjoyed the choir and enjoyed that song just then that you sung. That's real, real touching. God knows how to get things stirred up, don't he? And he gets things to moving, and people get to moving. That's what we have to do, is follow the leadership of God. So let's read in Romans chapter number 6, starting with verse number 11, and we'll read down to verse number 13, and then I'll bring the message. And the Bible says here in the 11th verse, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning for the many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come, Lord, and preach your word one more time. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless Josh as he's off, and Lord, that you'd be with him, that you'd bring him back home safe. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, and Lord, for what he's doing here at Gateway Church, that you'd bless him, God, from each day as he goes in and out among the flock. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless today in the service, blessing everything, Lord, that's said or done. And we'll thank you, Lord, and we'll praise you. Lord, if there be one that's lost this morning in this service, Lord, that this would be the good time, that they'd make things right with you. And we'll thank you, Lord, and we'll praise you because we ask it in your name, and for our sake we do humbly pray, amen and amen. Now let's look just for a few minutes in the Word of God, and the Bible says here in the 12th verse, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies." And this morning I want to use the subject, what sin will do. What sin will do now. We in an age that man don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to talk about hell. But sin is real today, and the devil, he's real. He's out to destroy the church. He's out to destroy America this morning. And why? Sin, what sin would do, why people play with sin, not thinking what sin will do in their life. I mean, men and women, they play around with sin, thinking nothing ever happened from it. But you see, Romans chapter 5, or Romans chapter 12, and verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." This morning, So sin will destroy your life. But we're to offer our bodies a living sacrifice this morning. You see, a lot of times we want to do different things, but we need to just offer our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And then I want to look and see what sin will do. First of all, sin will control your life. Sin will control your life if you let it happen. We read in Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, it's talking about the man that had his dwellings among the tombs. The Bible said that had his dwellings among the tomb, no man could bind him, no, not with chains or feathers or chains. You see, this man could not be controlled by man himself. Why? Because sin controlled his life. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's nothing that we can do to help somebody that's in sin. All we can do is tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and His power this morning. And a lot of them had tried to bound this guy. Could you imagine now he had his dwellings among the dead? He was among in a graveyard. And the Bible said that often at night and morning he'd cry. He'd cut himself with rocks. You see, that's what sin will do to you this morning. It'll control your life. It'll cause you to do things that you normally would not do this morning. And it's right here. We read it in the Word of God. But did you know a lot of this is taking place today? Did you know a lot of our young people, because of sin, are cutting themselves? They're doing things to themselves. Why? Because sin is controlling their lives. And they think that's the only relief that they can get by punishing themselves. And that's probably the way that this man felt. He felt like the only relief that he could do or get would be from crying and cutting himself with the rocks. But notice in verse number 6 of Mark 5, the Bible said, "But when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshiped him." You see, Jesus is the only one that can control sin. Jesus is the only one that can change our lives and make something that's worthy of Him this morning. And it's through His grace, through His power this morning that we are as Christians what we are. And you see, I hear. I said, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. He knew that Jesus was the one that could straighten his life out. Oh, this morning, if you're in sin, if sin is controlling your life, Jesus can change it this morning. He can make a new out of you. He can change your life and make something worthy of him this morning. You see, and when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him. John tells us in the 9th chapter in the 31st verse, it says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, doeth his will, him he heareth. This morning, if that sin's got you down and you feel like you can't go any further, just bring it to Jesus this morning. He's waiting with outstretched arms. You know, you come to me or some others, and we might say, why, you've done too wrong. But I'm glad that Jesus, he loves us, and he don't care what you've done. He wants to straighten your life out and make you new this morning. Just like the man here that had his dwellings among the tomb. Could you imagine living your life in a graveyard? Living your life among the tombs there. I mean, I'm afraid to get anywhere near a graveyard at night, much less, or in the daytime, much less at night. But this man had his dwellings among the tombs there. And could you imagine how awful he probably felt? You know, there's a lot of people today that's doing the same thing. They've got their dwellings among the tombs. Sin is all they know. Sin is all they have in their life this morning. But Jesus can do something about that. He can change our life and make a new out of us this morning. So what sin will do, not only will sin control your life, but sin will wreck your life. It will wreck your life this morning. I tear your life all to pieces. You see, we read about in 2 Samuel about David and his sin, how that he had sinned with Bathsheba. And we look at that as the beginning of David's sin. But actually, if we look over in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, and the first verse, the Bible said that it was time, at the ending of the year, was time for the kings to go to battle. But the Bible said that David stayed back. He didn't go to battle. He sent Joab to go in to battle there against them. You see, and David, he stayed back. And because he stayed back, he put himself in the place that sin could wreck his life. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this morning that little thing that he done, it seemed simple to him, but it seemed like it was nothing to just not go to battle and send one of his warriors to go in and battle.
fell. But that was the downfall of David. That's when sin entered David's life. And the Bible said he went up on the balcony and he saw Bathsheba. You see, and sin this morning will wreck your life. It'll turn your life upside down. I mean, for it was all over. You see, David, he would do one thing another, trying to get Uriah to be with his wife. But it never worked out. Why? Because sin had wrecked David's life. And it winded up him sinning, having Uriah sent to the front of the battlefield. And his life was taken. There Uriah was. And David had a son by Bathsheba. And because of David's work, the David's way he was doing, the sin that was in his life, you see, wrecked his life, wrecked it. A lot of people today have fallen into sin. Sin has wrecked their life, and they don't know which way to turn. What are you saying? I'm saying this morning if you tell one lie, you'll have to tell another lie to back it up. First thing you know, you're in so deep that you can't see the light of day. But I'm glad this morning that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life this morning. He's the one that can change things in your life. You see, and not only will sin wreck your life, but this morning sin will doom your life. You see, sin will doom your life if you let it, if you continue in sin and not change your way of living, then it will doom your life. We read in the book of Acts 5 and chapter 3 through 5. There was Ananias and Sapphira were that they had sold a parcel of land there, and they kept back part of the money, but they was trying to make Peter think that they'd given their all, that they'd given not only all that the land was worth, they'd give it to the church. But you see, Peter looked at it and he said in Acts chapter 5, verse 3 through 5, it says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remaineth, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart?" You see, it was in Ananias' power. He could have said, "Lord, I'm going to give you this amount of the land, and I'm going to keep back a portion of the land, the money." But no, Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, they took back part of the price of the land and give the rest to the church, making out like I tried trying to look good in the face of those that were around them. When they could have just told them that we sold the land for this and we're going to give this amount to the church and we'll take this amount for ourselves. But they lied to the Holy Ghost. And this morning, there's a lot of people that's lying to the Holy Ghost this morning and setting their lives in a life of doom this morning. A lot of people, I remember back a few years ago or whatever, maybe not a few years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I heard, I don't know if it was on the news or what it was on, but a man, he said, if Jesus were to come back, and this is not going to happen, and die on the cross again, he said, I'd be there to help him. I put him on the cross. You see, and this man had doomed his life because of sin. You see, and not only here in the fourth verse of the fifth chapter of Acts, it said, whilest it remaineth, was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, listened to what happened. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and give up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. Could you imagine being in service like this morning and lying to the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden God brings you down through death this morning? It'd be a sad time, and that's what happened to Ananias. But then if you look in chapter verse 7 through 10, you see, we can't do wrong this morning and get by. God, he's on the throne, and we may have things hid from those around us, but we don't have things hid from God this morning, because sin will doom your life. And we read in verse 7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, I came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it then that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. You see, could you imagine being Ananias' wife and standing there, and Peter saying, the men that took your husband to bury him, they're standing at the door waiting. Why? Because they was in agreeance to the sin that they have done. You know, that's happening today. People today are sinning, and then they'll say, let's just keep this quiet. Don't tell nobody else about it. And before you know it, they've doomed their life. Sin is doomed their life because of it. And the Bible says in the 10th verse, then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost and the young men. I came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, I buried her by her husband. This morning, you see, they had lied to the Holy Ghost. Did you know in Romans 6, 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You see, and the wages of sin is death, and that's what happened to Sapphire and Ananias, because sin had doomed their life. But not only there, we read in the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, the 20th and 21st verse, talking about the parable of the rich farmer that had great things. His vineyard brought forth plentiful, and he had very much. And Jesus used this parable. Now, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus was wanting us to notice something about how sin would doom our lives if we didn't accept Him. And this farmer, he had his vineyard brought forth plentiful. He said, I know what I'll do. He said, I'll tear down these barns and I'll build greater barns. He said, I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You see, but then God told him in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, this man, if you look at this verse 20 and 21, or the chapter 12, you'll find out that it was me, that's all he was always saying, not saying, thank you, Lord, for giving me what I have. I want to share it with somebody else. You see, and he doomed his life. Sin doomed his life because of how he thought about everything, thinking that he didn't have anything to worry about as long as he had everything needed to keep him up for many years. You know, a lot of us think, or a lot think that they've got plenty put up in their life today, that they can make it without God, without the Lord Jesus Christ, but it'll never work. It'll never stand. You see, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life this morning. So sin will doom your life. And then last of all, sin will leave a scar. Sin will leave a scar. And I expect if you looked over the crowd today, including myself, there's that scar of sin that's in our life. That's something we have done in the past that left a scar in our life and changed our life forever. You see, because sin leaves a scar. We read in the book of Psalms about David in the 51st Psalms, 1 through 3. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. He said, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. He said, for I acknowledge my transgression. He said, my sins are ever before me. You see, the sins that we've committed in our life is ever before us. We can't go back and change it. We can't go back and take from it. It's there. Once it happens, it's there. The only one that can change it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as he done David here. And David was able, after all this happened, to win people that were lost to the Lord. You see, sin leaves a scar in our life, and it leaves it there, not only for our bad, for our good, because when we look back and we see that sin that we done that nobody else knows about, or we think nobody else, God knows it, but we look back at those sins in our life, and a lot of times I look it back at my sins in my life that were happened years and years and years ago that I had done, and it behooves me, it tears me apart to know, and that's what David was saying, my sins are ever before me. Lord, forgive me of those sins. And I suspect each one of us this morning that's committed of that sin, that the scars left in our lives, that we say the same thing. God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me of that wrong that I've done. Well, he will forgive you, but we can't forgive ourselves. We won't forgive ourselves. We continue in our lives. So sin will leave a scar. You see, a person, they can do good for most of her life and then just do one thing wrong in their life and everybody or they forget about the good people do that was done by that person and they only see that one thing that was done wrong and that one thing tires our lives up in sin, leaves a scar in there. You see, this morning we must, first of all, we must know our enemy. To be able to defeat these, we must know our enemy. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, we're in a battle with the devil this morning. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You see, as some people think, they're in a fight against one another, but we're not. We're in a fight against the powers, the principalities, and the powers against the rulers of darkness. We're against the devil today. That's who we're fighting against. We're not fighting against one another. You see, then we ought to know our weapon this morning to win over this sin. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're to study. If you want to stay close to God and not stay out of sin, and the only way you can stay out of sin is staying the Word of God, to study the Word of God. I'm not talking about taking the Word of God and reading a few chapters and say, well, I've done my duty. I've read the Word of God. I'm talking about studying the Word of God, knowing what God is saying in His Word, because His Word is for our benefit this morning, to teach us to know more about Jesus, to teach us how to live more like Him. This morning it comes through studying, knowing. Then if somebody asked us about our salvation, we can tell them through the Word of God that it is through the precious name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we must obey the commanding officer. Who is that? Jesus Christ. We're to obey Him this morning. Not listen to the devil. If we listen to him, we'll regret our very life. We'll be so down and out. I believe that's the reason America is so depressed and down like they are today, is because they're not turning to Jesus. They're not turning to Him. They're looking at everything in this life just as the young people are looking for drugs to ease that emptiness in their heart. And young people are turning to alcohol to ease that emptiness that's in that in their heart. But that void that's in your heart cannot be filled with drugs or alcohol or something else. It can only be filled with the blood and the precious grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. And I want to say this, then I want Brother David to come on around and get a song ready. Sin this morning will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Then sin will cost you more than you intend to pay. This morning, come on around, Brother David, and get a song. And I want each one of us to stand up. And if you feel the need this morning to come and pray, lay it all at the altar for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here. He's not here to judge you. He's not here to say, I told you if you wouldn't do this, you wouldn't be where you are now. Jesus is standing with outstretched arms, saying, oh, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Come to me, bring your yoke. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Bring it to me. While we sing this morning, won't you come?